I wanted to obviously talk about Palm Sunday, but I wanted to bring some things out in a roundabout way. So this kind of talk about what's set up to getting us to Palm Sunday, but we're going to pray. God, thank you so much for just another opportunity, Lord. Again, we just bring everybody before you, God, that's just dealing with so many different issues. We thank you, God, for just the time that we had in prayer. We thank you for the victories and the praise reports, God. And we just thank you again for the future. We know, God, that our lives are in your hand. Our church here is in your hand, God. And we continually pray for a pastor that, God, you would just do what you need to do to prepare that individual, Lord, and that family to be a part of this special place here. We love you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, praise God. I wanted to quickly just go into the book of Mark, and we're looking at Mark chapter 10. And it's really cool that when you get into the setting here of this Holy Week of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, Easter, it's a powerful thing that you're able to really start diving in. And it's something, too, that you see even in Hollywood, because you've seen how much money these Christian movies that are making. So now you got Hollywood trying to do more movies out right now. And there's a lot of them that are out there. Anybody had a chance to see, is it Resurrected or Risen? I'm sorry, Risen. Yeah, that one's a really good movie. And there's others that are coming out. And I want to say clearly it's because they feel the mission of God to proclaim the message. And that might be so, but also when you know it's Hollywood, you know that there's a money factor behind it that's saying, hey, we know Christians love to go to movies, and especially when it comes to have anything to do with God. Our biggest hope is that anytime any movie comes out, that it's biblically sound, and that these writers don't take their own liberties and try to add a few things that just aren't in the Bible whatsoever, or even the context of what the Bible has to say. Okay, so here, as this is a time that Christians all over the world are just focused in on what's happening today. Throughout the rest of this year, the Christian body is all over the place as far as their direction of what God wants to say to the church. I mean, this church is on this series, and this church will be on this series. And once Easter's over, you'll see every church promoting their next series and what they're going to do and where they're going to go. But it seems really cool that at this time, and also at Christmas, that these are the times that we're all coming together on that same note. And it's a really powerful thing that when we're all in one accord, powerful things happen. When we're all together on the same focus, when Christians come together, even the Bible says, where two or three will gather in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. Where two or three will agree, it will happen. And so here, I want to look at Mark chapter 10, and I want to read from verse 46. A little bit of reading here so we can set the tone. It says, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together, let me turn the page here, with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man. They said to him, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is prior to Palm Sunday, directly prior to, according to the Gospel of Mark. And I want to just bring out a few things concerning, we hear the story of blind Bartimaeus. And here's this individual who clearly was given the authority and the ability to beg. He was disabled. He didn't have the ability to make a living for himself. And so the government says, okay, you have the authority, you have the right to beg. We know in cities, even within Utah, some cities you have that permission. Other cities you can't. It's illegal for you to panhandle or to be at the side of a road or at the end of a freeway ramp Okay, if you're in the Salt Lake area, it's legal because there's so much of it going on. I'm not sure if you've ever been to Ogden, but it's illegal in Ogden for that to happen. It still happens, but it is illegal for people to do that. While in this setting, they made it legal and allowed for him to be able to sit on the side of the road. The idea that it stated here that not only was his name Bartimaeus, but it does make an emphasis, which means son of Timaeus. The fact that it even said the son of Timaeus was referring to that he wasn't just some random guy, that he actually had a family. Okay, maybe the family wasn't to the place where they could afford to take care of him, but they did mention in the idea that he had a family. This is a person. It wasn't just some guy that's there. But nonetheless, he was one that had to beg. He was one that needed and was blind. Because of his disability, he couldn't do what most people could do. As he's sitting there, he hears the crowds, he hears the people, and he's understanding that there's somebody important coming by. But the fact that he says something different. In the book of Mark, this is the first place that this is even emphasized at all. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David." First time for something like this to come out. He knew, he had heard the stories. Now, when you're blind, you know, when you're removed one of your senses, okay, we have five, right? I know some believe you have six, but when we have five senses, and if you remove one, it's said that it strengthens the others, so you're able to hear even better, smell even better, or whatever. There's some form of adaption that takes place. You're able to be stronger in those other senses, and you have to be sensitivity to touch if you're blind especially. And here, he was able to hear, and he heard people talking about how this Jesus person was one who did miracles and he did this, and he heard. And then he also referred to him as rabbi. As you read on just a bit there more, it says he referred to him as rabbi. Now, a rabbi had such a high esteem in society, a man of education, a man that knew, okay? He was one that was, remember we read about the Magi, those that were wise people. Okay, the Magi were non-religious people, but here a rabbi is provided to the extreme knowledgeable person of clout, a person that has a high esteem among the people. And the people of low esteem, the ones at the bottom of the pole over here, they don't have the ability to directly speak to somebody. For example, we have some high official, the governor, coming in. Let's go even higher. The president. Well, let's give him a go even a little more extreme. If the queen, okay, of England, which is just walking by, you as a peasant, I as a peasant, someone as a peasant doesn't have the ability to directly just speak to that person of authority. Not at all. It's not even thought of whatsoever. But he knew that Jesus, and referred to him as son of David, referred to him as rabbi, and he got even louder. They're basically, people would say, hey, be quiet. You can't talk to him. He's not even going to look at you. Don't even think about it. What are you doing? And he went above the law. He went above the custom. He went above everything because he knew, this is the person I'm looking for. This is the person I need. This is the person that's going to make a difference in my life. And I have like one shot and one shot only to get a hold of this person. And he's walking right by me at one time. At one time, this time, and this time only, he's walking in front of me. I've heard about him. So he calls out, and he screams. And finally, it gets to the place where Jesus stops, and he says, hey, tell him to come over here. And what did the disciples say? They said, hey, cheer up. Like, okay, you got his attention. It's like someone saying, you got your moment. Take advantage of this moment. You don't have this opportunity again. Jesus asked him a question. What do you want from me? What do you want? Now, it doesn't mean in the idea that Jesus didn't know what he wanted, didn't know what he was thinking, didn't know. Jesus knows everything. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he wasn't just half God, half man, like a demigod. We think, we hear of demigods as far as Greek mythology, half human and half God, in that concept. That's not Jesus. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. But he wanted for Bartimaeus to proclaim directly exactly what was going on in his life. We read it here. So they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet, he's calling you. Now, at this point, I want to talk about this. He says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. What were those first steps that he did? I know we're talking about Palm Sunday. Please believe me, we're going to go right to it. But we got to set the tone. What happened prior to this? What Jesus is now, remember throughout the Gospels, there were different settings where people wanted to proclaim Jesus as Lord, and he would say, don't say anything, it's not my time yet. Even the demons, when he would cast them out of people, they would say, you know, the Messiah, or David, or son of David, or they knew who he was, Lord. And he said, keep your mouth shut, don't say anything. When he would heal people, he would tell them, don't say, my time hasn't come yet. Jesus, knowing that his time is just right to come, right to be there, this is kind of like the last huge miracle before he's saying, now is the time. But look at how big this miracle becomes. He comes to the place where he says to him, what do you want from me? He goes, I want to see. But what he saw, what Jesus saw in him, wasn't the idea of the words that he spoke, but was the actions that he took prior to that. He said to him, tell him, he said, cheer up, he wants you. On your feet, he's calling you. Listen to this again. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. You know, you said that we have the ability to read body language. We know let me go this route. Facebook and emails are so hard to read because you could clearly read something and guess in your own mind what exactly was being said. I think I may have shared this here, but there were some kids that they were playing a cruel joke on a girl, some boys. And this girl was infatuated with this boy, and the boy knew it, but with all his buddies around him, they took advantage of that opportunity. And so he started texting her back. And she was like, yeah, I do like you. And he was like, I like you also. And so in her mind, she's thinking the idea. She's thinking like this romantic music in the background. And yes, I love you also. And this really soft and all that. But in reality, the guy was with his buddies and they're doing it. So what all she read was the words. She could not see the background to it. To those boys, this whole conversation was nothing but a joke. In her eyes, she played this. But when you're in front of someone, you could they could play the part of saying like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. Well, your body doesn't say, your face isn't saying, no, what's really going on? Are you? No, really. Yeah, I'm happy. Can't you tell? And so what happens is you could see what's going on. The beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus, they told him, cheer up, he wants you, come to him. He didn't just like, oh, okay, gradually get up. He jumped up. But before he even jumped up, this is the key right here. He took his cloak, his wrap, his blanket. I want to talk about that for a second. That very blanket and cloak of his was one that identified him. You think about it. You see homeless people on the street. Do they have the nicest of outer garment, meaning a coat or something? No, you're talking something that's pretty nasty, pretty bad, pretty dirty, pretty whatever. It's been worn, it's been weathered, everything. And you can see, yeah, that's a homeless man. Look at that blanket. It's got dirt and straw in it. He's been sleeping on the ground or whatever it may be. Now, even though I just said earlier that he had a family, but yet they said, no, we're too poor. You go out and take care of yourself. And he's in this setting now that the very first thing that people looked to him and identified him was that blanket, was that cloak. He probably used it as he sat there and he would put it on his lap so that when people would throw money, they'd throw it in and he'd catch it because he couldn't see it. So he probably used it big enough so that he can hear it landing and feeling it. This cloak is huge because it says when he took it off, that very thing that identified him, the very thing that made everybody know to see this guy is who he is, he threw it off. You see, when we have that opportunity that Christ comes in our way and we could accept him in our life, how many times have we said, I don't know, Pat, maybe you've been, and Ken, you've been in settings where you hear a minister from the pulpit and they're pleading with people, come to know the Lord. Nobody. I'm going to give you one more chance. And it seems like the pastor's begging. Raise your hand if you need the Lord. Raise your hand. They're like every scenario that you can imagine. And finally someone, yeah, okay. You know, well, come on up. You know, they have to, and it's like you see the expression on that person. It is far from like, man, I want God in my life. It's like, okay. And it's just pulling by the ear, getting up to the altar. Okay, we're done? All right, you know, and then that's it. God sees all that. How do I know that? Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's was not. And God looked to Cain and he says, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? He said, if you'd only choose to do the right thing, you'd be accepted. But because you choose to do the wrong thing, sin is at the door and it desires you. But you must master it. Wow, God notices our facial expression. God knows when our eyes go, ugh. Teenagers are classic, right? But us adults too, like, you know, when something's like, our eyeball just go, wow. You know, the attitude behind it and everything. I believe when God sees someone like this individual, when he says, hey, you got your shot, what are you going to do with it? He's like, whoa, throwing off the identity of him. It's like, this is my shot right now. I'm throwing this thing off, this cloak off. And when you go into the scriptures and you read, well, why is that so important? There was an individual by the name of Jehu who became king of Israel. He was the one that defeated Jezebel. You ever heard of evil queen Jezebel? She was an awful person. And it was he who was the one that conquered her. But when he was declared king, everybody took their cloaks off and they laid them at his feet so that as he walked, what they were saying is they took their identity off and they said, I belong to you now. I belong to you. I don't belong to this that I'm wrapped around anymore. What this symbolizes, I give it to you. Everything this says about me, I give it to you. So now, as we read here, it says he threw his cloak off, and it says, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, verse 11. A few minutes here. Let me read this quickly. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, hey, what are you doing? Untie the colt. They answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let him go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had to cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest of heaven. Even though this is Palm Sunday, I wanted to emphasize it wasn't just palm branches they threw down on the ground. It was that cloak as well. Right before this happened, everybody knew blind Bartimaeus. The guy had been there a long time. And everybody had heard about the situation now, how he threw that cloak off. He saw it. It was something that was written in Scripture. It was so dramatic. It was so demonstrative. It wasn't just something, hold a second, let me take this off, fold it, or just get it and kind of crumble it aside. Here's this blind man, can't see anything. He literally jumps up and throws that off. It was a symbol of, I don't need this anymore. It was a symbol, he goes, your faith has healed you. your reaction to me means everything, is what the Lord is saying. Because of seeing what you're doing, how you react. Remember, we've said this many times in the past. Anybody can act like a Christian. Think about it. Anybody can act like a Christian. But it's how you react. Wow, that really sets the tone of your call with God and who you are in God. Because anybody can act like one. But how do you really react when life hits you? How do you really react when God is in your presence? How do you react when God seems to you far away? How do you react to that? How do you walk through that? Your reaction says more than your action. And here, his reaction was like, God, this is my shot. I'm taking my cloak off. Now, look what happens here. And over through history, other than when Jehu became king, that people took their cloak off and laid it down before the king. Here, now, this blind individual made the decision, I'm throwing my cloak. Why? Because I'm in the presence of the king. I go right along with what Pat was saying as far as those invitation cards. These palm branches is a declaration of saying, look, he's coming. But blind Bartimaeus kind of like brought back a custom that hadn't been practiced. There had been multiple kings after Jehu, but no one had thrown a cloak down. This blind man restarted something of honor, restarted something of giving tribute to my king. What did the cloak stand for? Identity. When those people saw Jesus on that colt coming down, and this was now the moment. Remember, we were saying Jesus kept saying, my time has not come, my time has not come. Now he's on the colt. Now he's on this donkey. Now he's coming through, and it's like, my time has come. And these people were literally throwing their identity off, denying themselves, laying those coats down, laying the palm branches. Now, the palm branch also, we've seen historically, palm branches are a symbol of comfort. They're used for shade. They're used for fanning. How many times you've seen somebody sitting there, they're serving them grapes and they're fanning them with palm branches, right? I mean, it's something we have seen throughout, but it is seriously a sign of comfort. It's a sign of nobility. But the cloak, it's a sign of identity. I'm so glad we call it Palm Sunday. I really am. Because it would be really weird to call it Cloak Sunday. Because really, once a year, we get to come together and we get to celebrate and saying, you know, Lord, I cast all my cares on you. I you are the one I surrender to and everything. And our comfort is in you, Lord. Once a year we get to do that. Clearly we should do that every day. But even more so, I think we should do the very thing they did as well. As daily we have to deny ourselves. We don't do it once a year to deny ourselves. Can you imagine if that was our culture and our custom? Live like you want all year, but once a year you come and take your identity off and throw it before God. And then the next day, pick it back up again and keep on. No, it should be a daily thing. Yearly, we get to celebrate the beauty of who God is in this way, that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords and he is the one that's coming through to be our King and Savior. But every day, we should be taking that cloak off. But not just take it off every day. The Lord says his mercies are new every morning. We wake up in the morning. Is it going to be like this? Oh, God, another day. Remember, I shared this a couple weeks back. We're either driven by one of two things. If we approach the morning, we approach life by saying, oh, I can't wait for this day to be over, then we're really led by fear. If we say, man, I can't wait for this day to get started, then we're led by faith. Faith and fear, like oil and water, they don't mix. When we know in God's hands, our life is going to be better. Did I say perfect? No, but better. Is it better because of more money? Is it better because of better health? Is it better? No, it's better because the Lord is with us and he will take care of us. and he will never leave us nor forsake us, that God is with us, and he promises to be. And then my life is in his hands. And the Bible says clearly that no one can snatch me out of his hands, and that God will show me exactly what to do. He'll be a lamp unto my path. He'll guide every step. God will walk with me and talk with me every morning, every day. So when we approach God every morning, we need to be like blind Bartimaeus and saying, here's your shot today. How are you going to react to it? I know if a lot of the kids, and I don't know, mom and dads, maybe your kids, you have the struggle where it's like, we're going to church, and someone, again? Or, we got to be there? I don't want to be there. See, God sees that. Now he understands children, and he understands that we're all his children. He understands, and he's so forgiving. But man, when he sees people excited to want to come to the house of the Lord, excited to be in the presence of God, excited to be with him and to spend time with him, when he sees that, he says, hey, your faith is something else. Faith has healed you because you know who you're talking to. He called him Son of David. That is a term for the Messiah. It's like blind Bartimaeus. Never in Mark, you don't read anybody ever refer to him as Son of David. It's like this blind guy restarts a culture of honor, acknowledges him as the Messiah, and then sets a trend. I mean, talk about things trending. He set a trend that within a short amount of time, everybody there was now laying their coats down and saying, here we go. I want to do this. Stand with me. I can go on and on. I just don't want anybody to be like, oh, I wish it would be done. You know, so we'll end it on faith, not fear, okay? And so we can have faith to believe, oh, I can't wait for the rest of my day to continue. I can't wait for God to just do something great in my life today. And so, yeah, I was going to ask the worship team if they would come up. But you know what? Let's take each other by the hand. Let's not leave anybody by themselves, okay? So kind of stretch out a little bit to someone next to you. And let's do what we can. Let's do what we can to believe and to trust together that God is going to continually be God in our lives and do what he's called to do. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much that on this Palm Sunday, that Lord, we can acknowledge you. We can acknowledge you as our King and our Lord and our Savior. And we can acknowledge you, God, as one that God deserves all praise. You told everybody before it wasn't time, but now it was the time on this day, the week before your resurrection. Lord, we celebrate around the world that it was in this time you allowed everyone to praise you for who you are. Lord, those palm branches represent praising you. But Lord, that cloak represents my denial of my life. I got to deny myself. And so God, I pray that I, God, would be faithful to surrendering over and over and over. God, as we worship you in this moment, we pray, God, that you would help us to stay faithful. That God, just like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, he leaped up, he jumped up excited and threw his identity off, never to pick it up again. God, we love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. You may let go of your neighbor's hands. Let's worship God, and then we'll close the service.